I started my company in 2010. I walked away from a 23-year career as a truck driver. I had been flipping houses and stuff on the side. I've been in construction since I was about 5 years old when I started my home inspection business. About a year or so into it, I had some agents ask me, hey, why don't you do this? It's like, well, I never thought about that. A few years later, I got asked that same question on some other stuff. It's like, well, I never thought about that. So I started researching ancillary services and kind of started to put stuff together. And I got a pattern where if I get asked four times to do something, then I start looking into the training and what all's involved in doing it. That's just kind of my personal procedure on stuff. Fast forward to about 6 months ago, well, actually a couple years ago, I started the InterNACHI chapter here in the St. Louis area. But about 6 months ago, one of the newer inspectors in our group asked us, he said, Matt, how did you pick what ancillary services you do and don't offer? And it got me to thinking, and that's kind of what brought me to today's presentation. I did it for our chapter, and then everybody's like, you got to really do this on NACHI TV too. So I hope everybody comes out of this today. You learn a few things, and I'm going to try to keep you entertained as we go. So I'm going to flip over to the presentation here real fast. So real simple, what ancillary services should you offer and why you should or should not offer them? The simple answer is all of them. I can't stress this enough though, check with your state and your insurance provider for coverage requirements and any training, certifications, license requirements that they have before you start scheduling any ancillary services and taking on anything new. We're going to start with the four ancillary services that I think everyone should offer no matter where you're located in the country. WDIs, also known as termite inspections, this is the very first one I started adding. This is one of the easiest upsells out there. You have multiple choices. Here in Illinois, the only requirement is that you fill out the NPMA 33 form. If you move across the river into Missouri, you must be state licensed. You must still fill out that form. As a matter of fact, every state, with the exception of Texas, requires that you fill out this form. Texas has their own form for it. With termite inspections, you can partner with a pest company, and then you simply mark up the price. A simple example is you pay $50 for the WDI inspection, you sell it for $75, or you get a state license and you keep the $75. If you work for a multi-inspector firm, you get trained, you get licensed, then you are more valuable to the company. You as the inspector get paid extra for that service. So you just made more money yourself every week. Another option is, and this is the one that I chose to do, I partnered with a local pest control company. I negotiated the price that we pay for the termite inspections. I built it into the cost of my inspection. So every inspection, I just built $75 in there for the cost of the wood and string insect inspection. And now 100% everything we do has a termite inspection with it. Over time, I've gone back to the pest company and I've actually negotiated an even better price, so it's more profitable to me. Sewer lateral inspections, this is the second big one we brought on. This one does come with an initial investment, but you have great ROI potentials here. This is probably one of your biggest money makers. In 2016, I got asked for the fourth time that year if I offered sewer scopes. I didn't. I found a company, I brought them on. I was the second home inspector in my area that offered sewer scopes. 2019, about half the inspectors in our area were subbing them out. I was at an InterNACHI conference in New Jersey. And I was talking to all the different people there that were selling sewer scopes and stuff. When Jim Crum with InterNACHI asked me, he said, how much did I pay my subcontractor the year before to do my sewer scopes? Because I was afraid of the cost of the equipment, the training, everything. The funny thing was, is when I figured it all up, I'd paid $14,000 to the subcontractor the year before. And as Jim pointed out to me, I could fly out to Colorado, take the class, buy the equipment, and still be money ahead for what I paid the subcontractor. And that's what I did. I flew out there, me and another inspector, we bought the equipment, we got the training. Here again, I can't stress this enough though. Before you do anything, I do highly recommend that you get Surescope courses. The courses will run you anywhere from $500 to $1,000. As I said, I went to InterNACHI's there with Jim Crum. If for anybody that knows Yisbon Zacco, he has a really good course. I've taken both of them. I think they're both great courses. You could do either one of them online or in person. The funny thing is, in 2019, when we first started performing sewer scopes, we charged $150 a scope for them. That was the going price in my market. Nowhere near what it's worth, but that was the going market. By 2023, I'm now charging, or I was charging $226 a sewer scope. We did 314 sewer scopes last year, which totaled us a net revenue of $70,964. In 2024, I made the decision to lower the price of my sewer scopes from 226. Now, keep in mind, the closest person to me price-wise was at 200. So I was in a league all my own. Lowered the price to 175. I made it the part of every inspection that we do. So nobody gets an inspection now without a sewer scope at $175 instead of 50% of them at 226. If we hit our goal target for inspections this year, we'll gross $122,500 just alone in that $175 on a sewer scope that was added into every inspection. That's an increase of gross revenue of about $50,000. My inspectors who used to get paid $55 a sewer scope is now built into the inspection cost. They're seeing an average increase on an inspection of $46.32. Like they say, they used to make $55 about five times a week. Now they're making $46 and some change, 12 to 15 times a week. So it's putting a lot of extra money in their paychecks at the end of the day. As I said, that $122,500, that's just based on projected. If our numbers go up, we've already raised our price once since we set this goal, which is affecting our gross revenue. It's going to bump it a little bit higher at the end of the year. I have found sewer scope machines when I've done the research for as little as $500 and for as much as $25,000. If anybody has ever priced sewer equipment at all, I don't think that $500 machine is going to be very durable and it's going to last more than a sewer scope or two and you're going to throw it away. You can find some fairly decent machines out there. Actually, not fairly decent. You can find really good machines out there that run anywhere from $2,000 to $7,000. I do recommend that before you purchase one, you do your research and you figure out what works best for you. I've been asked several times, do I need a locator to go with my sewer scope machines? To be honest, that is a yes. We locate defects in yards all the time, and that helps set us apart from about half of our competition. I know a couple companies in our area that charge anywhere from $25 to $100 extra to locate the defects. I'm not a big fan of the nickel and dime the customer to death theory. If you're going to do it, just make it part of your service and do it. It only takes a couple minutes to mark stuff. As a matter of fact, I marked a line today for a local excavator. But since we went out there, we marked it. We put paint on the ground and everything. He's going to be getting back to me tomorrow. We're going to sit down. We're going to negotiate a rate. I'm going to start getting 100% of all his excavation jobs when he needs a sewer line to dig a sewer line or when he needs to locate a septic tank because we took the time to actually mark where he needed to dig in the yard. When doing sewer scopes, that cost does not stop at the equipment. You will want at least 1 5-gallon bucket. I carry two. You're going to want a pipe wrench, channel locks, rubber gloves, disinfectant wipes, towels, different size sewer plugs, mechanical plugs, and a way to view your video before you leave. Because I learned the hard way, if you don't look at your video before you leave, when you get back to the office, that'll be the video that doesn't record. A lot of stuff you can hook to your phone. I carry a laptop with me. Everybody's a little bit different. If you work in a state that will let you cut off a cap or a plug, that's great. I always recommend getting written permission from the seller before you cut that cap off, before you cut that plug off, and that you take lots of pictures of what that stack looks like and everything around it. Because trust me, if that gets damaged at all in the process of removing it, even though it was all corroded and it was cracked and everything else, they're going to say that it was 100% your fault that it got damaged. They're then going to want you to replumb their entire house all the way out to the city main. They're going to want you to replace the neighbor's sewer lines. Heck, they may want to think you should do two or three neighbor's sewer lines. Okay, that's possibly a slight overstatement, but you get my point. Great ways to remove those, though, is a Sawzall. I'll cut them off real easy. Angle grinders, remove them real nice. But if you're that one person that thinks, oh, no, I got to be the tough guy, go for it. Get the hammer and chisel and beat away until you chisel that thing out. Do keep in mind, though, that anytime you're shoving a camera on the end of a cable through a pipe into potential roots, cracks, broken pipes, etc., you will break your cable at some point. You will damage a camera. And if you're really, really talented, you'll damage the camera and break the cable at the same time. So I can't stress it enough, when you're doing sewer laterals or anything, I'll be honest, what we do is we take $5 of every inspection and we put it in a special account that is just there for tools. And we don't use it for screwdrivers and stuff like that. But if we get a more expensive tool that breaks, something we want to purchase, we go to that special account to replace it with. Thermal imaging. Thermal imaging could possibly be one of the most undersold ancillary services out there. There are multiple levels of thermal imaging. I am only addressing the most basic level here. When we first started doing thermal imaging, we charged $100. And in the first month, we sold exactly zero thermal imaging upsells. So I had to ask myself, how do I get this training and the equipment that I just paid for to pay for itself? Well, that answer hit me at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I simply just include it with everything. I raised my prices by $25. I include them with every inspection I do. You can buy a good entry-level camera for anywhere from about $400 to $800. With trainings, Monroe Infrared's classes start at $595. InterNACHI has a great online course. It's part of your membership. You don't even have to pay for anything. You know, let's just take it here for a second and just do the basic math. If you do 300 inspections in a year at $25 an inspection for that thermal imaging that you've now included, and you tell everybody it's included as part of the inspection, they don't have to pay anything for it because people love free stuff, even though they're really paying for it. That's an extra $7,500 a year. At $100 per imaging, you have to sell 75 thermal imagings in a year to cover that same $7,500. We do about 1,000 inspections a year, so that kind of gives you an idea where we fall on that stuff. We have a default statement that is in every inspection report we do. This simply says a thermal imaging scan was performed on the home to help locate hidden water intrusion, not to determine the R value of the insulation, find missing insulation, or potential electrical issues, air leaks, etc. Thermal imaging is not an energy audit, and it's not to be used as one. Thermal imaging cannot see through walls or other solid materials. It can help identify thermal anomalies that cannot be seen and could be a potential problem. If there's not a proper delta T, and this is really important that you get that in there, during the inspection, the thermal imaging will not give accurate results. For a proper delta T, there must be a temperature difference of a minimum of 10 degrees between the interior of the home and the exterior of the home. You will not always get that difference. But at the same time, as I said, I used it just the other day. I had a house, they'd freshly painted all the walls. The thermal imaging, though, showed some anomalies around the windows. I then went and got my moisture meter, and right around the windows themselves, the moisture level was anywhere between 90% and 100%. When you moved out about a foot from the window sill itself, it dropped to about 30% and then continued dropping. But they had freshly painted it, and there was no visible water stains. And that's where the thermal imaging comes in so nice, and it can really save you in the long run. Radon testing. Here again, before you do anything with radon, especially if you're here in Illinois, you must take the world's most boring class. And if you're lucky enough to die of not to die of boredom in the classroom, good luck with the test. After you pass the test, you will learn that all you really needed was about 5 minutes of instructions to learn everything you need to know about radon. And I use Illinois as an example because that's where I live, that's where I'm licensed. Illinois brags that it takes an average of four times to pass their test. And not only is the regular radon class boring enough, but Illinois had to add 6 hours of Illinois specific law onto the course that you have to take before you can take the test. When it comes to radon testing, it is no different than anything else. There is initial investment, though. You can buy a continuous monitoring systems. They range anywhere from about $800 up to about $1,500. Keep in mind, you're going to need a minimum of two machines. Because of cross-checking calibration requirements. If you're here in Illinois with the way the laws are, you're more likely going to need four machines to start out. The nice thing is there are several places that you can rent machines from, but the downsides to renting them is when you figure out how much you pay every month in rentals, that comes out to about what you cost every year to buy the machine brand new outright. The advantage, though, is when you rent them, you don't have to worry about the calibrations and all that other stuff. And most states, they will then send out the reports and everything for you. Here again, here in Illinois, they dictate what reports we can send out, what the report is to look like, and all kinds of other stuff. So if it wasn't for that, I could literally send the report from the site, but instead, I have to come back to the office and finish them out. The facts around radon are pretty simple and straightforward. The EPA and the World Health Organization both agree that radon gas is the number two cause of lung cancer, the number one cause of non-cigarette smokers. It doesn't matter what the home's foundation is, and contrary to what a lot of agents in our area believe, you have radon everywhere you go. Yes, making two trips can be a small pain in the backside. Illinois laws can be a little bit bigger pain just because of the way Illinois does stuff at the end. But at the end of the day, it is fairly easy money. It's about 15 minutes on the setup, about 15 minutes on the pickup. When I get back to the office, it takes me about another 10 to 15 minutes to do out the paperwork. I myself, we charge $136 for our home. We are one of the higher priced in my market. In fact, I only know of one person that charges more than us, and he charges $139. We are really capped hard because we got a company in our market that does them for $99 all day long, and she will not budge off that price, so it makes it really hard for us to get the prices up any higher. I've heard of people getting as high as $200 for a test, so just in different markets. All right, we have covered what I consider to be the four must-do ancillary inspections. These are the ones that everybody should do no matter where you are, where you're located. Now, let's really have some fun and really expand your wallet for you. Deck-only inspections. Believe it or not, there are inspectors out there that offer to come out, they'll inspect your deck. In fact, the one inspector in our area that does it, he offers a money-back guarantee that if he cannot find a defect on your deck, he'll give you 100% of your money back, knowing that no deck is ever going to be defect-free. If you stop and really think about this, it's a pretty good idea. Someone pays a contractor $5,000, $10,000, whatever, to have their deck built. They pay you anywhere from $100 to $300. You go out there, you spend about 30 minutes in between your inspections. You look at stuff, you get some measurements. You go back to the office, you spend another 10 or 15 minutes doing up the report. Not bad money for half an hour's worth of work. Pools and hot tubs. Depending on where you are in the country, especially if you're in the southern states, you better be offering these. Here in the Midwest, we don't see a lot of them. I know the farther north you go, the numbers do drop off. One thing pools and hot tubs have in common is they're almost always with more expensive homes. The more expensive homes are simply bigger homes as a rule of thumb. More money to inspect the home. We charge $100 to inspect a pool. For the most part, when you're doing your home inspection, you're already looking at the fence, the GFCIs, everything else. Doesn't take an extra 10 minutes to do the pool part of the inspection. Maybe 15 minutes. It's fairly quick and easy for an extra $100 while you're there on site. Gas leak inspections. This is one of my favorites. Here in the St. Louis area back in the 80s, the gas companies blew up a couple houses because of out-of-date whatevers. Well, they turned around and they blamed it real fast on the real estate industry and said, "Oh no, if they'd had those houses inspected when the gas inspected when you bought them, we could have caught this and your house wouldn't have blown up." That's become a pretty standard inspection here. There are companies out there that come out, they disconnect your gas lines, they pressurize everything, they go all out. I know companies that come out, they'll shut off the gas and all the valves, all the appliances, they wait about 20 minutes. They go around with their gas sniffer. They check all the fittings. They check the valves. They check the meter for leaks. Then they turn everything back on before they leave. I even know one company out here that all they do is walk around with their gas sniffer, sniff a few fittings, and charge you an extra $100 for it. It doesn't really matter how you do it. The most important thing is that you clearly explain and put in writing what you're doing, so the client understands what they're getting. You can purchase a good gas sniffer from anywhere from $125 to $300. Now, I know you can get up into the thousands on them, but when I've talked to the local Ameren gas companies and stuff, we use the same ones they do, and they were right around $200 each, I think. Septic inspections. Check with your local requirements for licensing and regulations before doing your own septic inspections. At minimum, sub these out and make the extra money on them. Whatever you do, make that extra money. Contrary to popular belief here in Illinois, you do not have to have a license to do a septic inspection. What you do have to have a license for is to service them or do any kind of installations on them. The real catch in Illinois with that, though, is most of the counties and most of the cities require a license within them. And then they put all their own restrictions and regulations on them. So we just continue to sub them out. We do work here in Illinois and Missouri. We sub them out of Missouri also, because in Missouri, you have to take very samples of the drinking water and everything. Those have to be to the state approved lab by 4 o'clock the day they were taken. And there's a bunch of other forms and stuff that Missouri requires that I don't want the headaches to deal with. Just easier to sub them out and mark them up an extra $25. Here in Illinois, though, with my septic inspector, I got him to start running a camera between the house and the tank. And he started realizing there was a lot of defects in between the house and the tank. It's no different than a sewer line going from the house to the city main. So when I talked to him last week, he won't even offer a septic inspection now that does not have that camera scope involved in it. So he's gone from $150 to $250 for what he charges for them. I upsell him at $300 every time we have a septic. We get it. Nobody wants that phone call shortly after they did the inspection. Oh, hey, I got water bubbling up in my yard because of a broken line. You could easily argue that back that, well, that wasn't part of the inspection. I chose to make it part of the inspection and explain to people why they want to pay that extra. Speaking of that, back on the sewers, when we got a little bit of feedback kickback when we first started doing the sewers on everything. Few people said, oh no, I don't want to do that. And I told them, I said, look, this is how much the inspection is. And they're like, well, Fred will do it for $150 less. It's like, yeah, but he's not included in the sewer lateral. And if you have to rent the auger machine to have your sewer line cleaned one time, you paid more to have it cleaned than you did to have it scoped and have the seller fix it for you. 64.3% of all the sewers we did last year had a defect in them too. Mold, indoor air quality testing. Nobody wants a home full of mold or bacteria, let's be honest. I do find this to be one of the hardest upsells we have because a lot of people don't want to know what's in their house. Mold testing is another fun ancillary inspection, though, because there are no regulations. There's nothing that says what is or isn't the toxic levels. It all really comes down to your lab and what they want to say. When you're doing your inspection, keep your eyes open for any kind of growth and make sure you tell them about it. We average about 3 air quality tests a month and about 2 swabs a year. We don't do a terrible lot of them, but boy, we know the living heck out of them. And anytime we have a house that has a moisture stain of any kind, especially on drywall, it's in our report that they need to have that tested. I personally prefer the air quality test over the swabs, simply because the air test will tell me everything that's floating around in the house compared to a swab that tells me what's in a 2-inch by 2-inch spot. Air quality machines, they're again anywhere from about $500 to $1,000, depending on what you want to spend. This does not include the fees for the cassettes, the shipping them off, the lab fees. I also recommend getting one that can run on batteries, because that silly little 3-foot cord that comes on those things won't ever reach a receptacle. And I don't know about you, but I hate dragging extension cords around the house. Well pump slash well water pump testing. I will admit that I did not realize how much of a difference there is from one area to the next on how well test is performed until I got certified through InterNACHI to do well inspections. In our area, you go out, you get a well water sample, You take the bottles to the lab, you drop them off, you get the results in a couple of days, no big deal. We take the time though, we hook up a flow meter and we figure out how many gallons per minute are pumping out of the well, get some pictures of it, get some pictures of the gauges, do a few things. We charge about double what everybody else does, but we offer more. When I got certified, I learned in the Western states that they'll run their water anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, checking the gallons per minute, checking the flow, seeing how fast the well itself refills, and a bunch of other stuff. I'm here to tell you, if you tried to do that in my market, they would have you tarred and feathered and quartered and burned to the stake before you could get off that property. The agents, the homeowners, everybody would just go ballistic. Boat docks, sea walls. We see very, very few of these. I know, depending on where you are in the country, though, you can see a lot of these. Sea walls, I don't recommend doing unless you really, really know what you're doing with them. Boat docks are generally fairly simple, though. There's not a lot of moving parts to them. Do keep in mind, though, a large portion of them is underwater, and that needs to be in your report and disclose that, hey, I'm not a scuba diver. I'm not going underneath, though. I can't predict what could be going on underneath there. Lead paint testing, lead water line testing. This is always a favorite of mine because, in typical government fashion, they outlawed lead-based paint in 1978 because little kids were picking it up and eating it. But it took them all the way to determine till 1986 to determine that lead water lines were not safe for drinking. Yeah, that's right. In 1978, they determined it was not safe to eat it, but it took to 1986 to determine it wasn't safe to drink it. Do the math. Gotta love the government. Older homes, they're a treasure trove for lead, especially between older wood windows, storm windows, and incoming water lines. Lead paint tests are simple to do. Send to a lab for confirmation. The bulb on the lead water lines is always a dead giveaway that the line is lead. If that's not good enough, there is always the color test. It's always going to be that dull gray look. You can take a screwdriver or even your fingernail and scratch it real fast. Then it should be nice and shiny. If they're still insistent, there are different swabs and stuff you can rub on them and take and send them to the lab for analysis. I've never had anybody push it that far that hard, though. Asbestos. Here again, asbestos products have not been manufactured since 1989. The products are still found in older homes and comes in several different forms: vermiculite insulation, tape on heating ducts, waterline tapes, floor tiles, siding. Those are probably your most common forms of asbestos to be found. You will want to wear a respirator mask when taking samples. A good mask can be bought from anywhere from $25 to $50. The other thing is I tell everybody is do not, whatever you do when you see the cement fiber board or something, do not break it to get the sample. A lot of times there's a piece laying on the ground. You can pick that up and you can sample it. Just do not break it. Same with the tape. You'll find loose pieces hanging off that you can snip a corner off or whatnot. Do not peel any of it loose. Vermiculite, you can shit. Lay your Ziploc bag down there and knock a little bit in it fairly easy. EIFS inspections. EIFS is also often, very often mistaken as stucco. While they are similar, EIFS does have the potential to have very serious defects and should always be inspected by an EIFS expert. While we have very little EIFS in my area, it is notorious for improper installation. That leads to moisture trapping, which leads to rot, rotted wood, fungal growth, and a lot of other things. I've heard of yeast inspections that they went anywhere from $500 up to several thousand, depending on the size of the building and what all they had to do. Basically, anytime you're looking at yeast, you're looking at an area, looking for areas of high moisture, damaged sheeting, damaged trim, damaged finish coat, proper ground clearance for drainage. There again, like I said, before doing anything with yeast, make sure you check with your insurance company and for training and some stuff. Anytime I see yeast, I just tell them get a qualified yeast inspector in there. I won't touch it except to tell them what it is. Chimney inspections, this is my next big move. I'll be making this move later this year. We've all been asked at some point about doing a chimney inspection, and most of us probably answered it with the simple thing, yeah, I shine my flashlight up the chimney, I shine down from the top, kind of give it a look over to see what I can do. What if I told you that you could get a certification in chimney inspections, be trained in running a camera up the chimney, make extra money while doing it? So I said, I will be doing this before the year's over. From all the research I've done, you're looking at somewhere between $4,000 to $6,000 to get the equipment. And most of the time, that includes the training that goes with it. I have talked to several inspectors who just bought the equipment and started doing chimney scans without. Doing any kind of schooling or anything. They didn't seem to have any kind of problems with it. But at the same time, I do always recommend getting all that training and getting stuff in place up front, make it all that much easier for you. Who wants to go spend all that money on a shiny new toy that you can't use or you can't use properly? So spend a couple hundred dollars, get the training, and move on. Hang on, my phone's ringing. I'm trying to get it turned off. All right. Just say you have $6,000 tied up in the class, the equipment, the whole nine yards. If you charge anywhere from $200 to $300 for a chimney scope, chimney scan, you're going to need approximately 24 inspections just to break even. Well, that's not really right, because you got to figure you're going to have to pay yourself and some other stuff involved in there, buy a tarp, something. So you're really looking at anywhere from 36 to 40 inspections before you break even on your initial cost. And that's figured at $200 an inspection, not at 300. So if you jump it up to 300, you're going to get a little bit more. My area, most of the chimney scans, and there's not a lot of them, are charging 250 for them. When I come in and start doing them later this year, I plan on running an introductory for the first month at 200, and then after that they'll go to 250, and I'll be right in there with everybody else. And if I have any say so, within a couple of years, I'll be up to 300 on them. Drones, it doesn't matter if you have a drone at home to play with or if you're licensed to use drones. During inspections, drones are here to stay. Doesn't matter if you like them or not, they're not going anywhere. Simply put, you can get out there, you can do drone inspections without a license, but that's like playing Russian roulette with your livelihood. The FAA is really cracking down on people using drones at work without a license. Drones can be used during inspections to help you inspect roofs. I have heard of inspectors charging extra for drones on roofs. To me, you're going to get a drone out because you don't want to get on the roof for whatever reason. You shouldn't be charging anything extra for it. So you want to know how you can use that drone to make extra money? Well, that's pretty simple, especially in a rural area like where I'm in. Now, I live in a town of 750 people. There's a lot of people that want pictures of their farm. They're buying places with 40 or 50 acres, and they want that nice aerial shot of the house and the pond behind it or the timber or whatever gives you an opportunity to upsell a little bit of that, especially right there on site. Tell them to fly it up and snap them a picture for 25 bucks. Or just fly it up, take the picture, and give it to them, and then you're, ooh. Fred did this for me and didn't charge me anything for it. He just kind of threw it in. You look like the great guy. They love you. They refer you to their friends. And in some cases, you could even partner up with somebody that does pictures of the homes and stuff that wants to get some aerial photos and stuff and kind of partner with them, make a little bit extra money that way with them. Lawn irrigation systems. What do lawn irrigation inspections and high-end houses have in common? Nice green yards. I can't speak for everyone here, but I have never pulled up to a home that was selling for $100,000 or less that had a lawn irrigation system. As a matter of fact, I've never inspected a home that was selling for over a half a million that did not have a lawn irrigation system with it. Most of the time, you can inspect the lawn irrigation system in about 30 minutes. You charge an extra 50 bucks for it. It's a little bit over a dollar a minute while you're there on site. 4-point inspections. I know. You're sitting here to yourself, that's a Florida-only thing. You are seriously wrong. That is going to become an every state thing here in the very near future. As a matter of fact, 4-point inspections are now required in Florida, Texas, up and down the East Coast, and up and down the West Coast. They're starting to gain popularity there. It's a matter of time, and they will be required in all the states. If you don't do 4-point inspections, the basic is they want to know the approximate age of the roof, the materials and its condition, the plumbing pipes, what type of materials are there, is there any visible damage, the HVAC system, the age, damage to the system, and the electrical wiring, what type of panel it has, is it copper, aluminum, knob and tube, and is the panel on a recall list. A 4-point inspection should not take you any more than 30 minutes to an hour, and if you're already there doing the home inspection, you're looking at every single aspect of that 4-point while you're there already. You're just filling out a separate form. As long as you're doing it with the home inspection, you can get anywhere from $100 to $400 for that just to spend 5 minutes filling out, maybe 10 minutes filling out some extra paperwork when you get back to the house. Draw inspections. There's basically three types of draw slash insurance inspections. The contractor is at the point where they want to access more money from the bank, and/or the investor sends you out to take pictures and document if the work's been completed. The home is being foreclosed on, and the bank wants you to take some pictures showing that the property is still standing. And I get these every once in a while. An insurance company will call me up and say, hey, we're just doing a random routine on this house, and they want you to go by and take 4 or 5 pictures of the house. Unfortunately, these do not pay very well, and I generally don't do very many of them. But I did one earlier today that was 3 blocks from my office. They paid me 50 bucks to go over there and see if there was a solar panels on the roof. I literally drove over there, rolled my window down, took a picture of the solar panels, drove back to the office, sent them the picture. I had 5 minutes involved in it and paid me 50 bucks. I am very picky about these inspections that I do. I have to be going in that area or being somewhere close because otherwise it doesn't pay. If you're in a bigger city or a more dense population, a lot of times you can get 4, 5, 6 of these packed together and do them in a couple hours and not make bad money. Commercial inspections. All right, so these are not really an ancillary inspection, but it's a simple, but I simply wanted to mention them because these are hands down your best paying inspection period. There is no emotion attached to them that you see with residential inspections where they've fallen in love with the home, the neighborhood, the school district, whatever. These buyers are ordering this inspection simply to know how much I should figure in repairs and maintenance while the building produced enough financial return to pay for itself. Most of the commercial inspections we do are smaller hair salons, bars, funeral homes, churches. And remember, any apartment complex that's got 5 units or more is a commercial inspection. To date, the largest we have done was a 36-unit apartment complex, as far as apartments. And then we did recently, we did a warehouse that was 55,000 square feet. Let's take a second and talk about a few ancillary services you probably don't want to offer. Cactus needle inspections. I can only imagine how much that hurts. Falling rock inspector. Somebody had a really, really bad day there. Bear attacks. I can't speak for anybody else, but I don't want to look up at that big brown guy coming at me going, "Ooh, I see a snack." Alligator jaw strength inspections. I don't want anything to do with finding out how strong their jaws are. How heavy is the deck when it falls inspections? Yeah. I think I'm going to pass. I'm not going to try to catch that one when it comes down. How high do you bounce when you fall off the roof inspections? Well, I can tell you when I was a kid, I bounced about 2 foot. I haven't tried it as an adult, and it's really not high on my target list as an adult. I want to thank you for joining me today for this.